I'm a man on a mission, yeah, this man's got a plan. Ever since I can remember, I've been a Florida Gator fan. You think I would have given up by now? No way. No how.
You're listening to Gator Raiders, the official podcast of Gatorade.com. I'm Jim Morgan, and with me, Will Smith. Will, how you doing?
I'm doing fine today. Got the day off.
Nice. So, I know we promised you Griffin would be back this week, but due to factors out of our control, Griffin isn't here. He's sick. He's got a fever in the triple digits. So, we wish him the best. Hope he gets well soon. And he said he was sorry he couldn't be here, but we're hoping to have him back for our next show, which will be available Thursday. We'll be breaking down National Signing Day. Big football recruiting news coming for the Gators. Will Muschamp's first class. So be sure to check it out on Gatorade.com and iTunes. So, Will, we're going to go ahead and hop right into it. Florida basketball, since we've last done the podcast, they beat Georgia 104-91 in overtime, re-entered the rankings, ranked 24th in the AP poll, 23rd in the coaches poll, and then proceeded to lose to Mississippi State, thus proving that they seriously cannot handle success. So, Will, what have you identified that's wrong with this team?
If I could pick one statistic to almost kind of embody the mentality of this team, it would definitely be three-point shooting. They almost make it like a do-or-die mentality. Like, Irving Walker will just jack up some threes every, like, possession that he gets the ball, and majority of the time he'll miss it. But, you know, in some games, though, they get, like, the ball rolling once they start making the three-pointers, and a lot of times that's why they win. However, as it could have been shown against Georgia, where it had to result in double overtime until Florida could actually start scoring, Irving Walker had only made two out of a total of 8 three-pointers, with the second one coming with the final seconds of the first overtime to tie it up. Of course, if he had been, you know, actually consistent instead of inconsistent, he would have missed it. And then Georgia would have ended up winning.
So here's the thing I see here. Like, Walker, like, the Mississippi State game, he would just throw up these threes and miss them. And then he drove into the lane and just made a floater. And it was just the most frustrating thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. Anyway, to show how the three-pointers actually helped the Gators, you know, against Tennessee, Ole Miss, and Georgia, Chandler Parsons made 4 out of 5, 3 out of 3, and 3 out of 5, respectively. Obviously, you know, when certain players are on a roll, they're on a roll, but it should really be confined to those players who can actually make the threes. And then when the other players have it, they should just keep it in the paint. They can score a lot more effectively. We've seen them been able to, you know, just run in, do a layup, maybe even just a short field goal. But these threes need to be cut down significantly by those players who have a very low three-point percentage.
Yeah, most definitely. On the show, on our last show, I believe, we were talking about how Vernon Macklin and Alex Tyus and Patrick Young actually had the highest shooting percentages on the team, well, they did at that point, and how perhaps Florida should go in the lane more. And these threes are absolutely ridiculous. Kenny Boynton and Irving Walker are just missing way too many of them. But the problem I see is with free throw shooting. Florida currently ranks 11th in the SEC in free throw shooting percentage with 65%. And free throws are honestly just killing this team. Against Mississippi State Saturday, well, in addition to costing them the game against South Carolina, against Mississippi State Saturday, Florida was 9 of 19 from the free throw line, including they only made 1 of their last 7. And that is just egregious. And the worst part is Florida's an experienced team. Well, you know, the Alligator provided some great – the independent Florida Alligator in Gainesville provided some great stats here. Chandler Parsons, Alex Tyus, and Vernon Macklin combined to be 2 of 10 from the free throw line, which that should not happen from 3 senior basketball players who are supposed to be leaders on this team. Guys that you want at the free throw line should not be this inconsistent. So that has absolutely been slaying this team. maybe if Florida were to drive the lane more instead of shooting threes on every possession, then perhaps they get more experience at the free throw line.
Yeah.
Maybe make some more.
You definitely get a lot more you get a lot more fouls by running down the lane instead of shooting three-pointers.
Yeah. So that I just don't get. It's Florida just the only shots they really can make are inside the three-point line, not from the free throw line. Pretty much two-pointers. So go with the two-pointers, Florida. They're worth more than free throws. So if you make those, perhaps you can make it to the NCAA tournament. So that segues perfectly into our fourth and one topic. The Florida Gators will make it to the NCAA tournament. So Will, take it away.
I agree that they're an NCAA tournament team. I think they will make it to the NCAA tournament, especially with the NCAA tournament being expanded last year. However, I only see them getting past the first round. I don't think, you know, that first round, a lot of times you face those, like, lower-tier teams, and, you know, sometimes everyone thinks the first round's a joke, but, you know, that's not always true. Teams like Murray State, who was it? It was in Northern Illinois or Northern Iowa?
Yeah, Northern Iowa.
Northern Iowa last year, you know, beat, even Kansas. So, obviously, those lower-tier teams can do well. A few years back, we had even had Western Kentucky make it to, like, the Sweet 16.
George Mason, Final Four.
But, you know, generally that's not the case. Florida is not going to be facing one of those teams that comes by and just blows everyone away. And I know that now I said that I probably just jinxed all of us. But I don't see it happening. They're going to get first round, and then they're going to face, you know, a normal-tiered team and probably lose. Especially since Florida's probably going to be a lower-seeded team, you know, because they're so inconsistent. Anyway, I definitely think they have the capability of winning a lot of their upcoming SEC games. They've got games coming up against Vanderbilt, South Carolina, Tennessee, LSU, Georgia, and Alabama. They could very reasonably finish the year at 23-7. That's approximately two or three more losses than they have right now. However, I definitely see them being a lot closer to 20-10, just because they can play so inconsistently and lose to teams like Mississippi State and South Carolina, who aren't even that good in the first place. However, even though they could finish the year at a 66.6% win percentage, I think the NCAA tournament committee can definitely overlook some of their losses because they have such a high RPI rank and strength of schedule. They have a strength of schedule rank of 16 and an RPI rank of 19. Just because of that, they can definitely at least make it into the tournament. So I say, yes, they are a tournament team.
All right. I say they are too. When I think of an NCAA tournament team, I don't see Florida as one, but will they get in? Probably. I think the barometer is going to be the SEC tournament. I think, you know, Florida's probably going to finish 19-11, 20-10. Like, I agree with Will on that. And it just depends on how far they get in the SEC tournament. If they lose in the first round by playing down to the level of an Alabama or another mid-tier SEC team, then they are not going to go. But if they could somehow put a run together, a run that they're capable of, when they make their three-pointers, when they drive the lane more, when they actually make their free throws, you know, Alex Tyus and Vernon Macklin are pulling down rebounds like they're supposed to, then I could see the Gators getting into the tournament with, you know, a respectable seed. I'm not sure if Florida can win the SEC. I haven't watched Kentucky play a lot this year, but with the talent coach Calipari brings in, I kind of automatically make them the class of the SEC. So Florida faces Kentucky next weekend, actually. College game day is coming to Gainesville, or this weekend, not next weekend. So that'll be a huge measuring stick for Florida from here on out. But I believe they're an NCAA tournament team. It's just, it's hard to believe they're an NCAA tournament team based off of their level of play this season. But, you know, I mean, that's the way it is. So we're going to go ahead and move on to football. National Signing Day is tomorrow. and the Gators, 17 commits in the class. Today, Rachel George of the Orlando Sentinel reported that Tevin Westbrook, a three-star defensive end recruit, has agreed to play for Florida. Florida has 17 commits. The recruiting class isn't so great. ESPN has them ranked fifth because I think they have six ESPNU 150 people. And Rivals and Scout have them 19 and 27 right now. But that can change. There's some pretty big names up in the air. So, Will, Which Florida recruit that's not set in stone yet do you think that we have to get?
I'm going to be a little typical here. I think Juwan Story is definitely the most important recruit that Florida gets. With a receiving core that we had this year, it's been absolutely dreadful. Juwan Story is currently has been contacted by schools such as Georgia, LSU, Ohio State, and California. He's even taken a visit to Oregon, but he didn't receive an offer. However, Florida is absolutely paramount that they get him. The receiving corps this year has been led by Deontay Thompson, who we all know is famous for dropping passes.
Stonehands Thompson.
You know, he only had 570 yards on a team that was supposed to be good. You know, you'd think you'd have at least one player who had, like, between 800 and 1,000 yards. Like, that leading guy.
Granted, John Brantley was his quarterback, so...
This is true.
Cut the guy a little... You know, let's not cut anybody any slack. He was terrible. They both were.
I mean, the second leading receiver was Carl Moore, which isn't surprising, but he only had a meager 349 yards. That's ridiculous, a receiver to have 349 yards in a season. Not even, like, a receiver could get easily over 100 yards in a game.
Mm-hmm.
On that topic, actually, Thompson only had one game where he had at least 100 yards, and that was against Appalachian State, and he only had 100 yards. Like, he couldn't get even 101. Like, he had to get exactly 100 against a Division I AA team.
And I think John Brantley had more touchdown catches against Appalachian State than Thompson did.
Yeah. Some comparison. Georgia, a big rival of Florida. I saw recently in a poll that a majority of people thought Georgia was the biggest rival of Florida and not Florida State. Their leading receiver, A.J. Green, had 848 yards. That's not ridiculous to believe because he's an excellent receiver.
And he missed four games.
Yeah, four games. Imagine if he had been in those. He would probably have around 1,200. But, you know, he's a really good receiver. I'm not going to rely all like the comparison on him. But their second leading receiver, Chris Durham, still would beat Deontay Thompson with 659 yards.
Let's get Chris Durham in the Gainesville.
Their third leading receiver almost had as good a season as Deontay Thompson with 504 yards. You know, you can continue to see like how it's kind of unbalanced where a leading receiver compared to a third receiver, like, have almost the same stats.
Definitely.
This should be a huge wake up for Florida. They need a wide receiver. Juwan Story is the best they can get right now at wide receiver, and they should go all out to get him. I know he's been having troubles wanting to go to Florida since he practically lost the entire coaching staff. He was closest to defensive line coach Dan McCarney. He left, Urban Meyer left, and then wide receivers coach Zach Zani left. So, you know, it's hard for a wide receiver to go somewhere, excuse me, when all the coaches leave.
Luckily, they have Aubrey Hill coming in. I'm really excited about Aubrey Hill. I
think Aubrey Hill played at Florida.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully we get Juwan Story. He could be a huge boost to wide receiving corps.
Yeah, one big recruit that I believe Florida needs to get is defensive tackle Tim Jernigan. Jernigan's a force. We posted an article about his visit to Gainesville. And there's a highlight video I posted in there, and he's just blowing through the line every play, and it's incredible to see the impact he has. But when you look at Florida's defensive line, it was probably one of the weakest parts of Florida's team this year. The defense suffered due to an inability to get a pass rush. And making matters worse is that Florida loses the majority of their defensive line. Justin Tratow's gone. Duke Lemons is gone. Taryn Sanders is gone. The Gators got Jay Howard back. That'll be a plus. And Shreve Floyd had a pretty good season. He made the All-SEC freshman team. So you'll have those guys on the line. Ronald Powell, last year's number one recruit. He played some linebacker this year, but you know maybe Muschamp will move him back to the D-line. But pretty much Florida needs a defensive lineman who can come in and contribute immediately, and Tim Jernigan is that guy. The great Florida teams of the past had outstanding linemen. You think Jarvis Moss, Ray McDonald, Derek Harvey, Carlos Dunlap, Jermaine Cunningham, guys like that. Fast, big guys who could get into the backfield, pressure the quarterback, get to the quarterback. Tratow, Lemons, God love them, but they just weren't quick enough to be consistently good SEC defensive ends. Florida needs some speed and some size on the defensive line. And Jernigan brings that. ESPN's recruiting analyst Corey Long said of Jernigan, well, obviously, Jernigan would be the number one person on Florida's board in some ways. He can sort of could be considered a major make or break in their class. So Florida State and LSU have been pursuing Jernigan as well. So Will Muschamp's trying to get a hold of Jernigan. He's really a force to be reckoned with on the line. And I believe he would be a great asset to Florida defensively. So we'll see if he can see if the Gators can snap him up. Urban Meyer's resignation actually made Jernigan kind of shaky, as it did with a lot of recruits. So Florida's really hoping they can wrap him up. Yeah, so that's our show. We appreciate you listening, and we really hope Griffin could be back with us next week. Missing out on having him a lot. Just you guys are probably sick of hearing me and Will talk all the time since it's been like this for 2 weeks now. But yes, we will be back in 2 days for our National Signing Day recap show. Mm-hmm. Sound good?
Sounds good.
And Gator Nation, I'm sure you're hoping Florida puts together a great class. Will Muschamp's first as head coach. But transition's tough, so if National Signing Day isn't a good one for Florida, stay strong. Urban Meyer pulled in a great class last year, and they should probably start, well, hopefully, they should start coming into their own starting next year, so we'll see what happens. But again, we thank you for listening, and
go Gators!
I'm a man on a mission, yeah, this man's got a plan.